are listening to 99.1 WQRT LP Indianapolis, and this is Create Here. Produced by artists and curators from Big Car Collaborative, Create Here is your place to listen to conversations with people making intriguing, innovative, and impactful things happen on the cultural front in Indianapolis, Indiana, and beyond. Find out more and access additional episodes at WQRT.org.
Hello, this is Shate Marsh, co-founder of Big Car Collaborative and director of exhibitions and programming. And I am joined today for this episode of Create Here with two founders and artists associated with 1,000 Words Indie, a gallery on East 10th Street and collective of artists. So in the studio with us is Chris Smith and Greg Rose.
Yeah, I think I like the sound of my voice today, so I'll talk for a little bit, then I'll let Greg pepper it in. 1,000 Words is a community art space, like you said, on the 10th Street on the east side of Indy. What's really awesome is we have established a community that isn't necessarily geographically based, but it's based in love and people that love art and people that love to see artists grow. It's really been cool, too, because we've had the opportunity to work with so many talented individuals who are, you know, from Indianapolis, like they went to Arsenal High School and, you know, they just love the East Side and Indianapolis, too. And we're really excited that we'll be able to continue to support artists in the near future, on the Near East Side. So, yeah, Greg, tell us a bit, maybe a little bit more about the artists that we've gotten to work with.
Yeah, so we've been able to feature a slew of amazing emerging artists here based in Indianapolis. Well, to Chris's point, they're not all based in Indiana, but they have strong roots to our local arts community. From photographers to painters, we've even had the luxury of being able to support some of our emerging creatives with partnerships with programming that they, you know, want to try out. But we, you know, are able to give them a space at a low cost and that
or assists, no cost
or no cost most of the time. You know, we for the streets. You know, low cost, so people really get a chance to experience some of the talent that we have here. You know, there's so many barriers that the artists run into. So if we can be a legitimate solution to some of them, we can, you know, give some help, then that's definitely what we do. So it's been great. It's been a great ride.
Yeah, we always talk about facilitation. Really, what does that mean? It's like, well, we'll try not to get in your way.
Yeah.
But if you have a big dream, we want to believe it as much as you do.
Yeah. And it's like, I feel like the key part is like not getting in their way, but also helping them not get in their own way.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, you want to do all this stuff. I think all of this sounds really great. Maybe if we do this part well, then the next one you can implement it. You know, like, it's really creating that system of execution that people need help with. Because how else would you know if you don't get that type of assistant?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, how did 1,000 Words start? Tell me about the beginning.
So that was definitely all me. I'm a pretty bullheaded kind of person, and I really wanted to see some change in my community. And I know this sounds really corny, but I was listening to Man in the Mirror by Michael Jackson the other day. And I think I didn't like the way my community looked and the way it reacted to one another. So I thought the best way was to try to make a change within myself and then hope that other people would maybe see that as an example. So I started going to Art in the Park on 10th Street across from the Mayfair Tap Room. And I got a chance to meet Joanna Nixon and a lot of great folks that were associated with the Bonner Center. And I expressed the interest in having the space. And I mean, they made the earth shift between August and December to help me find a space. And initially it was more for my art. I do a lot of like scenery photography in Indianapolis and other cities and states or countries around the world. And I wanted to try to get people in the same room to kind of talk through just some things maybe, and that could create that conversation that the community had kind of been missing, but center it around art. And then the pandemic hit, so we really couldn't hang out in the groups anymore. And then a year later, I met Greg, and it's been phenomenal ever since we kind of crossed paths. But it went from being what I would consider like a space for me to show my work to more of a community, more like a stage for any artist in the community to go stand with their work. And then we would take on some of the hard, heavy lifting that they didn't know about, but we have done it month to month. So we would kind of remove that from them. And it's more so transition from that, like a art gallery that's a store or a selling space, to a community where people can come and to try and grow with their artistry.
Yeah. Like, so when I met Chris, I was coming from another wonderful creative institution, Future Friends, and I was looking for a curatorial home. And I saw Chris had his first show in March of 2021. March of 2021. And it's this phenomenal contemporary artist, Shady Flocka, Sade Bell. And, you know, she has an amazing way of connecting with folks. So I saw 1,000 Words through, you know, their social media engagement. And I happened to run into Chris at a pre-Juneteenth celebration.
In May.
Yeah, in May. And I was like, yeah, so who's helping you? You know, like, what do you got going on? He was like, it's me. And I'm like, oh, no. You know, because it's like here in Indiana, one thing that we miss out on is a lot of infrastructure. You know, there are very few Black-led art spaces that can help people or create viable solutions. So I was like, okay, we have one. Let's
make it work.
Yeah, let's figure it out.
Make it make sense.
So I was like, yo, who's helping? Let me help. What's up? You know, and then we went from that point. Chris had one artist secured, Yabi.
Yabi in August.
Oh my God. An amazing
hidden gem.
Oh my God. She's so good. Her work is so good. She makes paper and she does these wonderful prints. Like, she does block prints.
It's next level. Like, I never assumed that I'd find something like that in Indianapolis, honestly.
So that was like our first chance to really collaborate on an exhibition. And that went so well. And then from there, we just really hit the ground running. The show after that was
Aria
Smith, who's one of our artists for Butter. For Butter, you know. So this year we were able to showcase. Yeah.
Literally one year later. She's doing a show with us, but at Butter.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what she wanted last year, was to be in Butter. Yeah,
so intentionality.
It was great. Yeah. That's another thing I feel like we're able to kind of help people achieve the things that they want to do.
Yeah.
So it's like, that to me is the best part. But so, yeah, we really hit the ground running and we started to think about what's the best way to impact our community, right? Mm-hmm. So we created intentional programs to offer access points to these larger art conversations that we all really want to have.
That we need to have.
We don't know how. You know, we don't really have that access point. We don't have the doors or the windows that we feel like we can access to get there. So we really try to create that infrastructure, and we've done it. You know, we've created a series of art center activations that people get to come to and be open up to, you know, fine arts and what that can look like. One of the things we hear the most is like, wow, this is my first time in the gallery, you know, and it's like, oh, OK, great. Welcome. And there's always more, you know, so really being able to do that groundwork and. Yeah, it's been great.
So when you say community, because all of us now in the arts have a lot of pressure to serve community. Yeah. What is community to you? And what are you like, you know, and tell me a bit about your current audience who's coming to your shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I try to remind people that it takes a long time to build something great. So, I'll go back to the word love, because I'm filled with love every time I see the love the artist gets every month. And it's a very trickle down effect. So when we had our first show in February, it was like, it was packed. It was a lot of programming. It was a very packed month, you know, more than one way. But I would probably say at least 5 to 10 of those people, as well as the artists, came to the March show. And then, you know, 10 people from the March show would show up at the next. So it was like always this kind of spillover where these artists were bringing out masses of people, 50 to 100 people on a first Friday, when there's all this other stuff going on. They come all the way to the East Side, where there's not always a lot of stuff going on. Mm-hmm. And then they pop in, they see us, and then they just keep coming back. So it's kind of like a perpetual effect where we have to continue to perform, and it's just now it's just two of us, but like it really needs, it should be like six of us. But we have to make sure that there's something there, because we know that like those people that came last month, they're gonna want to come back again. And the audience is it's so crazy. It's mostly, I would say it's a lot of people that look like the artist, but that's not true, because each artist still has a wide array of young, old, black, white, hip, you know.
Yeah.
But most people either really love that person, or they just really love art.
Yeah. It's like that's the thing about indie. We are so mixed with everything, like generations, race, economic resources, you know. So there's a little bit of everybody, and that's the thing that really makes me super excited about the work that we do. It's like, not only are we tapping into the literal community that we live in, you know, like our neighbors, our literal neighbors, we share the zip codes with these people, but we're also tapping into the arts lovers, you know? So,
yeah.
So we're at like an intersection of community, which is such a great place. Like, Chris and I, we are 10 years apart. Chris is cisgender, hetero, male. I'm non-binary, queer. So, you know, we represent such a large slew of people just with the two of us. And to be able to see, like, not only our communities, but the artist communities, and then just the overall art community come out and be able to appreciate this with us, it feels really good, you know. And it feels like that connecting point to help legitimize and solidify like what community can be. You know, it's so hard to define it, but it's a lot easier to recognize it. And it's just like, what we have now is so great and it's so different. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like the thing I can say, I would love to see more like older folks come out, like,
right,
you know,
maybe you need to change the music or something,
you know, like 60 plus.
Yeah.
I would love that, but yeah, it's a lot of us.
What I also love about your space is that it's focused both on Indianapolis but internationally too, and pulling a focus to our city that's positive. Because a lot of times, I mean, I'm sure you feel the same way I do. Like, Indiana's not in the news for good reasons. Yeah. We're in the news mainly for things I find embarrassing. Yeah. So I loved, and maybe it goes back to you talking about how you are like listening to Michael Jackson, Man in the Mirror, you know. As somebody who's, I'm sensitive to music, I definitely like listen to that and would cry, you know, like, especially like I'm being like, oh my gosh, I gotta do something.
Yeah, wake up and do something.
Yeah. I love that. Can you talk more about, you know, this philosophy? Because really it's a philosophy and a lifestyle, your gallery.
Yeah, I mean, I'll give you another song. This one might show, you know, this might scare away the old folks, but 2 Chainz has a song that's called Proud. And he's just saying that he wants to make his mama proud. And, like, that's what I'll be on every day. Like, you know, when I think about what we do, when we get grants, when we, like, people start, I was sitting in a grief counseling thing, and, like, some lady just broke down crying, and I started crying. I was just like, I needed to be here today for us, not just for me, but, like, for this whole community, because, like, this is necessary. Needed. Like, I remember Greg first was like, oh, let's get, like, Narcan and focus on harm prevention. And I was just like, that seems like a stretch. Like, it seems like a lot of extra responsibility, but it was like, yeah, but like, it's what needs to happen. And everybody that comes over here and in this space, like, they need to be okay with like, not just letting a person die, right? And there's been too much of that structural violence where we are, right? But I know my mom, she's a very strict lady, but I know she's proud that I made a change. Like, I decided to do something good for my community versus just, you know, I was having a great time in Indianapolis. It was a sports town, lots of great bars and great restaurants, but I really wasn't doing anything to help anybody else out. So I refocused a lot of my energy and put it back into my community. And I know it's made like, it's changed so many, it's changed my life. You know, I've seen artists, like, you know, just break down barriers and move to New York and, you know, take it to the next level. It's stuff going on in the behind the scenes I don't even want to talk about. But I know that because of that facilitation, because of us like getting them the love they needed to be like, this is the warm hug I needed to go off into the world. Mm-hmm. Like, they're going, and mm-hmm. we hope that they are ultra successful, and then they remember to come back and help people yeah. like we did.
Like, that was one of the touch points that, like, Chris and I really connected on, was really expanding the idea of, like, community and our understanding of what the Midwest can't offer. You know, right. the Midwest is a huge economic access point, you know, for a lot of people. It's easy to produce work here. It's easy to, you know, it's not easy to find money, but when you can, it is not as hard as it is like in New York or right. or Chicago. So we're like, okay, we know what we have here, but I don't think everyone really gets a chance to know what we have here. So how can we showcase that? So like one thing that we did was like really expanding our idea of what it's like to, or what it means to be a Midwest artist. Like, being from the Midwest is more than just being in Indianapolis. You know, we have a lot of cities in Indiana that we can access from. Like, our artist that we have currently in August, Terrible Tony. He's from South Bend. You know, he's amazing. His work is phenomenal. Yep. I challenge anyone to find someone that is comparable nationally to the work that he can create. You know, and you can't find that just here. So one thing we did was we spread out our tentacles, and we found artists that have strong bases to the Midwest, and we showcase their work. So like one of our first collaborative efforts was Jocelyn from Cincinnati, you know, just amazing contemporary oil painter. We got her work here. Will Smith, he's from Champaign, and he currently lives in New York. We got his work here. Jeff
in Chicago.
Yeah, so we really are trying to help people understand that Indianapolis can be a good, strong base to bounce off of, but we also are one base along multiples that we can access. And we hopefully, you know, it goes from us pulling artists from other spaces to us getting artists in those other cities as well. Mm-hmm. So we can kind of recreate that cycle and, you know, pepper people throughout the Midwest so we have a better economy, a better arts market, more recognition, more platforms.
So do you... So the thousand words, I really like the name, you know, because, and it took me a minute. I'll tell you, when I first found out about it, I was like, thousand words. And it did, like, I'm a little slow too. So I was like, oh, a picture's worth a thousand yes. words. Can you talk more about that?
Yeah. Again, it goes back to that, like, I don't know if y'all ever have felt like uneasy. And when I moved into my neighborhood, I felt uneasy. And I thought the best way to remove that feeling, I don't know if I had it, other people had to have it, was to give people that opportunity to connect and have a conversation. So what I thought was, there's a song by Corday, and he is called A Thousand Words. And he just talks about how we have become so inundated on our social media screens that it's like everything is in a box, but that box is very small. Like, I pride myself on taking great photos when I travel and putting them on my Instagram, but I like would rather print it out on a canvas and have it hanging in your home. So, you know, really thinking about what we view as art and like how we talk about art, you know, where did art actually start? What was the main purpose for the invention of art? What is the tool that it means for like our livelihood? Is it the opportunity for us to create peace? Is it the opportunity for us to create or deepen our ability to express? So when I think about 1,000 words, if a picture is worth 1,000 words, it means that based on your perspective, it can mean anything. And mm-hmm. if we all have an opportunity to share freely, openly, we pride ourselves on when people come to the gallery, it feels like home. Mm-hmm. So then they don't feel different and that they can't express how they feel. So it's really about those 1,000 words. We hope people like open up and talk about who they are or what they feel when they see art. And that conversation, I think, changes the world, man in the mirror stuff.
Can you tell me about what's a piece of your work that you can describe that you're really proud of to have made?
Like as an artist?
Yeah.
I'm a photographer, and I feel like I grew up in a neighborhood where my life was contained like by the sidewalk. I never thought I'd get past that sidewalk because it just seemed so like I was where I was. And mm-hmm. then I think the more when I went to Thailand, maybe in some of these other countries where I was like on the opposite side of the world, I was just like, oh, this is not like the sidewalk. And I know that there's people who come from where I come from or have a similar mentality as me. And if they would just take one look outside, it may open up their, their ability to express. So mm-hmm. I would say if I had a piece right now, I was in Cartagena and there's a really colorful cathedral. I don't know the name, but I think it was built maybe in the 1600s. And I mean, it's like a paint splash in the night sky. And I just took a shot of it actually with my iPhone. I printed it out, blew it up on a canvas, and like people just fell in love with it because it just pops. And what it really represents to me though is again like just getting outside your box. You don't see anything like that in Indy, but I think if you go and appreciate the culture of Colombia and you see those things, that it gives you opportunity to have a different 1,000 words, a different perspective.
And Greg, there's a piece I'm really excited about that you told me about that everyone will get to see in Butter. Yeah. That has just such a, I love the concept. And yeah. And you were giving me a little sneak preview on your phone earlier. Can you tell the audience about that piece?
Of course. So I'm really excited to share this piece with everyone. So I'm turning 30. And there's a lot of, you think about a lot of things, when you hit 30 and it's just like, okay, who am I in the world? So I've been reading a lot and I recently read The Souls of Black Folk, by Du Bois. And, I was very kind of taken aback by it. I wanted to read it as like a happy read, but it's a very sad book. And, I had to have some conversations with myself about it. And one of the things that I was able to kind of get was like, he was coming from a certain space based off of the world that he lived in. So how can I kind of contextualize that visually? And that was the start of this piece. So the piece is called Color Folks, and it's 100 Black prints all over it's in the spectrum, so it's 100 colors, and they each represent a person. And the thing that we really take away from that book is like the idea of the talented 10th. There's going to be 10% of Black folks that are going to be able to succeed no matter what. And what I really want to change is people's idea of what success looks like. Can you really identify the talented 10th? Can you really pick out the most amazing 10 pieces in this? But your most talented 10th will be completely different than everyone's talented 10th. So does that mean that all 100 of these things are special? All 100 of these things are amazing? It just depends on what you personally identify as amazing. And I feel like that transitioned to where we are culturally, because everyone is successful. Everyone is amazing. Everyone is happy, as long as it fits in your idea, your definition of what those things are. So it's a conceptual piece. It's fun. It was fun to make. It was really great for me to step outside of like the program curator bag and like actually create art. myself. So that was fun. Am I crazy a little bit for doing it? Of course. But, it's a really great piece. I'm really excited for people to get a chance to see it and interact and identify their talented 10th and hopefully take them home.
I'm going to piggyback on that a little bit. Just, and this question will be for both of you. Just as a curator, and both of you curating and creating space, both physically and in people's minds, there's a lot of history that we and artists that we don't get access to growing up. And, Du Bois, you just now are reading as you're about ready to turn 30, when really that's something that we all should have had access to in high school or maybe even before. I mean, I think we were, you know, so I just, so as curators and creators and people creating space, can you talk more about that in your approach? Because it seems to be part of your approach and how you think about the world is like sharing things that we were not given access to.
Absolutely. Like, again, one of the points of similarity with Chris and I is we both knew how transformative art is and it, the type of access that it can give you, you know, as an artist, as a person of color. And we also saw how much talent we have here. Really, what we wanted to do was, like Chris said earlier, like create that platform and get out the way. Let's get you here. Let's identify the issues before we show it so we can create solutions for those issues. That way, when you show your work, it is how you want it to be perceived. You are able to communicate the things that you want to communicate through your art. You know, that's a as a curator, that's one of the things that makes me the happiest is like hearing what someone wants to showcase, their vision, their ideas, and then watching them execute it.
We connected in the weirdest way on the Chitlin Circuit.
Yeah.
The Chitlin Circuit was like an underground opportunity space for artists. Some people may call them drug dealers, but at the time people probably were just calling them like, you know, doctors, medicinal people. Alcohol was banned at a certain point of that, so people were running moonshine. But what happened was it didn't really matter because black people couldn't have an economy anyway. So the Chitlin Circuit allowed musicians, artists, purveyors, anyone just selling their goods, soap, you know, black businesses to thrive. And it was all throughout the, you know, the Midwest, Southern Midwest, East Coast, the Southern states. And it was during the, like the 1920s, I feel like when, while there was like that, resurgence and renaissance. And it was like in our textbooks in New York, it actually was kind of going on everywhere, but in smaller pockets. The reason why I say all that is because I study history and I'm a like an educator by trade. So I studied Du Bois. I studied a lot of the stuff that we talk about. We talk about gentrification and we talk about access to equitable or anything, but education, healthcare, you know, health services. And I think some things are just more so ordained or meant to be. I think my phone likes to talk sometimes. they were more ordained, meaning that when you first brought up Du Bois, I was like, like, this is interesting that this young guy is reading it. And like you're saying, like, well, he should have read it in, you know, in high school, maybe even, you know. And when I read it in grad school, it completely shifted my whole way of thinking. So
yeah,
I think some things are just meant to be, and it's really good that we both know that there's a historical lens of perspective that we want to convey our message through, and that intentionality allows us to attract other artists that are like, I think about Slim. Slim's very ecologically based in what they want to produce with their art. And we just got a garden space outdoor that we're working on. I mean, we're working on it, but it's just cool because like as a space person and a facilitator, not an artist, I thought it would be great to have an outdoor art space. I never even really done outdoor art. Well, it's all these artists they have. So now it's like, cool. Now we have another opportunity for other people to stand on that stage. But it's to know that my ancestors, maybe my great granddad, he couldn't buy plots of land in Indianapolis. I can. Again, I know that they're looking down as my ancestors, like, oh, those kids are doing it. They're doing the stuff that we hope that one day they could.
Yeah. I mean, I just think, like I said, I'm excited about your space because I just don't, like, and we need this. Mm-hmm. We need this so much, and we need people and artists and curators who are thinking about, and also like, because I feel like as a community and as probably Americans, period, we need to understand our history, and we haven't had access to it. Yeah. We haven't had access to it. So I just like, I love that, you know, you're thinking, you're referencing music, you're referencing authors, and just reminding of us all of our foundation. And I really, really am grateful for both of you.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, we're grateful for you. Art saved our lives, I feel like. And when people believe in what we believe in and they say stuff like that, even if they can't come to the shows or donate or whatever, it helps us understand that, like, what we're doing is the right thing.
Tell me about that. How did art save you?
So I was a professional athlete, and I don't think I knew what art was or artistry or expression was. I don't think I knew. I like music. I like rap music. It helped me get ready for the weight room and to compete at a high level. I thought I was going to go to the Olympics when I was a kid, and I kind of just focused on that. I didn't, like, pay attention to art class. When I was trying to figure out what was next in my life, I found photography and videography. I just was in a place where I couldn't make enough money to live and do the stuff I wanted to do. But once I found photography, I self-taught myself in 2012. And by 2014, I had sold pieces to the University of Illinois Rantoul Art Museum. And, like, my work was in the art museum within 2 years. And it was just like, all of a sudden, my life changed, and I had the opportunity to create nothing out of thin air. And it has propelled me through my entire adult life. And when I got to the Near East Side of Indianapolis, the capital changed from financial capital to cultural and community capital. And I mean, I know pretty much everybody in my neighborhood, as well as most of the arts administrators. We've hosted pretty much the whole who's who of everybody at the art gallery.
Besides you, you gotta come.
All right.
You know, it's just everybody just will sometimes pull up and have a meeting, but also just want to interact with us. So, you know, I don't think that's what I was doing before I found photography, or before I should say had found me. So, yeah, it changed my life. It made me a more creative and capable person, and I can help other people see the power in creativity.
Same question.
Yeah.
So for me, like, queer little brown kid, femme, you know, there's not a lot of spaces that make you really feel comfortable, or that you feel valid, or that you feel seen. And art was that first time that I felt safe in a room. Mm-hmm. You know, I live in conservative Indiana. I'm always an outlier in some way. So art kind of helped me transition from being an outlier to being the voice, to, you know, helping facilitate safety for other people, because people are coming here to see the things that I'm creating. They understand who I am as a person. So people who identify with me in any way, shape, or form can also feel safe in that space. So art really, it gave me for the first time a sense of safety and security. And now, you know, further in my art career, it's like also giving me some sort of financial security too, which is crazy. It's stressful. It's so stressful, but it is, you know, it's amazing to say at, you know, 30, I'm a full-time artist that lives in Indiana. I would have never thought that, you know? So art really, it helped change my life by, like, creating less stress in certain ways. I feel a lot safer. I feel a lot more comfortable. You know, I can go to the State Museum and see my name there as an artist. You know, that's crazy. I've done collaborations with, like, Uninterrupted LeBron James.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like,
that's awesome.
I would have never have thought that 5 years ago, 10 years ago, you know, 10-year-old Greg would have been like,
calendar.
How?
In I don't know my phone. 25 minutes. Do that. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, you know, so.
Upcoming event. Wow.
I love the, like, is that regular English?
No, it's slow motion too, but it's like a timer, and I can't. I'm sorry. Technology's defeated me today.
No, I was like, it gave a little slanky.
It reads the screen, it goes real slow. I don't know.
That was cool.
Does it?
But yeah, right. So, yeah, art has definitely created more comfort and more safety for me.
Nice.
Yeah. And it's like, if I can do it, I know for a fact multiple people can. And, like, you don't have to move. You can just stay here and do it and not pay $4,000 in rent.
Right.
Yeah.
So where can the audience learn more about your work, and where can they donate to support your work?
So if you go to 1000wordsindy.com, so that's the number 1000 and then words spelled normally, and then indy.com, there is a donate button on the page. What we are actually looking for is the ability to sustain this beyond what we are able to do along or together. So, you know, small donations, like we're asking $5 to $25 if you care about art and you want to see Black artists have a place where they can show their work and, you know, grow their ability to make money off of their work in the future. You can do that. You can also subscribe. There's a membership. We have some great subscription folks who pay the monthly fee, which to me still floors me, because that little monthly donation adds up to really help people do stuff that, otherwise they wouldn't be able to do. So we really appreciate that. If they want to see what we got going on, Instagram is normally where we try to have the most fun and try to be kind of like cool and hip, and then post it like kind of at the last minute so you had to scramble and come see us on the first Friday. But I mean, it adds to the mystery of it somewhat. So it's at 1000 words, INDY. We try to keep it real simple, but we're still growing a lot. So if you feel like the information you're looking for isn't there, you know, definitely shoot us a DM or shoot us a message. And we just want to continue to build and try to make stuff happen and be present in the community. So any donation, any support, it would be greatly appreciated.
Greatly appreciated. Like, at this point, it's just Chris and I, and we both have full-time, you know, careers. Like, me and my art practice, Chris is a boss. Like, a capital letter boss, $S's boss. Like,
maybe like the one S is a dollar sign.
Maybe one. Yeah. So, you know, like, literally whatever kind of support people want to provide, we are definitely in a position to be receiving it and to be thankful.
Yeah. At the beginning of the space, people donated stools.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And we still have like 20 of those stools, and I don't think the people who donated those realize how much those come in handy when we want to support extra bodies. So that's an example of like how $18, $20, $25 has gone a very long way. People buy t-shirts, they buy mugs, they wear the t-shirts, they post on Instagram. So like, it's the love for us. If you love us and you want to help us keep it going, do that. If not, just know there's two starving artists who they're going to be starving trying to figure out if you don't. But other artists, we know they appreciate it. So,
and like, again, all the money goes towards
artists,
all of it. It's like the space. Mm-hmm. We don't charge artists anything.
No commission.
We also help with like the marketing. We make the flyers, we make all of the wall decals, we do literally everything for them. Their responsibility, like if they were in any other city, is just to provide the art.
Right.
You know, in Indiana, we have this weird arts thing that like artists, they have to be in charge of marketing and managing and event running and all of these things. It's like, that's someone else's job, and it should be. So, you know, like the money that we will receive will help pay for those things to make sure that artists get a fair, specifically Black and Brown artists, get a fair introduction into what the fine arts world can offer outside of Indiana.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Is there anything I haven't asked that you want me to ask you?
I don't know. No, I feel pretty good. So one of the things that we got recently that has been phenomenal, can we talk about it?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know if we can talk about our power plant.
Yeah.
Sure.
Parking lot, maybe. I don't know.
We can talk about it.
You want to talk about it?
Yeah.
I'll definitely run it that way.
Okay. I haven't released it to the Warhol yet.
Yeah.
Okay.
I still have to send, I can have Sean edit all this, but I have to send the press release to the Warhol, and I kind of want this to air.
Okay.
Probably, like, it just takes time, and then they have to approve it.
Yeah.
And then I'll like start rolling out the announcements once they approve all my language.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll say, because you have this.
But we can add this, like do a little blurb separate or something.
Yeah,
like,
I'm down.
Like with 2 minutes from PPG.
Okay.
And I can ask Shonda just edit this separate and then have it play once we
do the announcement?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I would probably say that you have like this beetle on. Mm-hmm. And whenever I see that, it represents abundance to me. So when I think about funding and the opportunity to get help, a lot of times my people, people that look like me and think like me, they tend to have a scarcity mindset and they go through life thinking they have to really hold on to what they have versus going out there and getting what's available to everyone. So, you know, there's been a lot of times where fear and doubt and imposter syndrome, where we think we're not enough. We're not some of these larger institutions, even though people still come see us on First Friday. So we don't always go ask for the help. Mm-hmm. But we've espoused a abundance mindset and we always go into every situation thinking that we have an opportunity to represent our community well. So anytime we have the opportunity to apply for a grant or get funding, I feel like we really put our all into it because we really believe in what we do.
Yeah.
And the power plant grant for us is significant because 60% of all the funding that we got goes directly cash into hands of artists.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they've already done all the work for Butter. And we were struggling to think of how we could fund it. And I was going to fund it through however I could. But we just knew we wanted to be a part of Butter. So that was amazing that we were able to take literal cash from the foundation through the grant and give it directly to artists. The other thing that was really awesome is that it kind of helps us think of longevity and like, how do we keep this going?
Yeah.
What are some of the things that we're like, we don't have that we can get that we just weren't, we would have never been able to do based off of how it is funded now. So we're extremely grateful not only for the abundance mindset, but for the fact that you all believed in us and you you gave us a pretty big cash infusion. So that was awesome. So thank you.
Yeah, it's going to be a great birthday.
Yeah. It's going to be a great birthday.
But yeah, that type of investment is so important because it not only what it does for us as an organization, but what we're able to show our artists. Like we take a very hands-on educational based initiative with our artists. We don't just do things for people. We ask them, how much do you want to know and how involved do you want to get? So in this process, we've had the chance to do some amazing professional development with our artists, like walking them through the grant process. Like a lot of people. So one thing that I do outside of this is I do a lot of professional development with artists and telling people about grants. They're like, what? You know, like, huh? What is this magical 5-letter word? It's like, it's a grant, love. Like, let's do it so you can get paid, so you can create. And watching them be active and engaged in it and taking this on head forward was such an amazing moment for me to be like, wow, if more people had access to this, how many more things would we have access to as a community? You know, and then being able to pay them for it, being able to get paid for it was an amazing thing. Like a lot of the things I do is for the community.
Right.
For the free.
It is for free. I am a servant of the people.
Amen.
Most of the time I'm unhappy about it, but I do it because it's the work that needs to get done. But, you know, so that was just, it was just amazing. And it just sheds light on the things that can happen once we give capital to people that have historically not had access to capital.
Right.
You know, like, wow, the things that we can create. We can do beautiful things, both physically, spiritually, mentally, for people that we wouldn't have a chance to produce any other way.
I guess that's going to lead me, though, to this question, which is, how do you take care of yourself? And how do you prevent burnout? You know, when you're like, are you leaving anything for yourself at the end of the day?
Short answer, no.
Yes.
But I will say this to anyone who feels any kind of way about like how we have planned our shows out or the ability for you to find out when we're doing stuff or if you feel like it's all last minute, like I've told Greg, it's not that important for us to overextend ourselves. Yeah. It's really important that we just fill our cups and we pour from a full cup. So if you notice that an event that you went to got canceled or the breakfast wasn't right, we've learned not to stress out too much. Yeah. We're still building this, and we appreciate everyone's grace and kindness and all the love and nice things you do say, because, you know, we started in a house that I wasn't super proud of from the outside, but the inside was special. And now that we have the new location, we get a lot more praise, but I still know that we've come a long way and we still got a long way to go. So we need to make sure that even if maybe we're not capable of doing it 1 year because we just know we want to maybe go off and create, or it's just heavy on your heart. We've been through a lot of individual things together.
Yeah.
Because we were pushed together at the times to do the shows. But we both know it's tough out here, man. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to create and just everything. It's just a lot of, you know, a law will change one day and I'll feel very different the next day because the law changed. So we just had to be like good people to each other. Yeah. And then also I'm very big on just being like, no, and stop. And sometimes we just have to take a break so that we don't get burnt out. Because we have definitely both already been burnt out lately, maybe 81 times.
Yeah, it's getting crispy, extra crispy bacon.
It's fun, though. When you're busy, it can be fun. But when it starts to feel heavy, we just put it down and just come back to it later.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate your work.
Thank you.
And, you know, even though, like I said, I can't be there very often because...
First Friday.
You know, it's first Friday. Well, and also it's, you know how it is. Yeah. It's just you understand all the things that can go wrong.
The AR, right,
like any day.
Any day.
And it's, so I watch from afar.
Grace.
And I watch what you're doing from afar and I know how the work goes.
Yeah.
And I also know how much people want from you even when they're getting it for free. It's amazing.
That was the thing that I was really surprised about.
My mouth stays closed and my ear stays open.
That's right. That's smart. I wish I could keep my mouth shut.
I can't promise.
I'm like you.
Yeah, I can't promise too much because I know already, like, next Monday, I'm getting a massage, bro. Yeah. Sorry. Taking the day off.
That's where partnership comes into play because Chris and I, we are so on different sides of the spectrum. He is quiet and listening and is like, what you saying? And I'm like, I don't like this. You need to fix it. Something needs to change.
Yeah.
So stuff changes.
It's a healthy balance.
It's a good balance.
Because it's like...
if I could leave any... If this whole conversation, like when you talk about community, it's that sense of knowing that there's other people around that are going through the same thing you're going through. So I don't know, like if it's I don't want to feel burnt out and I don't want people to come to the gallery and see that I'm burnt out. So if I can't do it, I'm off. You're up. If you can't do it and you're feeling down, we'll get Shady. Shout out Shady.
Yeah, shout out Shady. Shady Flocka.
Aria. People pull up. They support. They help.
Yeah, that's the thing about like all of the artists that we've hosted. They are part of the family now.
They come and help.
And they are down.
For whatever.
For whatever. It's just like, we got this idea. Let's do this. Randomly, like last month, a month before, we had an artist come down from Fort Wayne. And, you know, she was just communicating with me. Hey, I'm in Fort Wayne. I really don't know anything here. I sent out just a random text message to past artists that we've had. 20-something people just pulled up. This is like 3 hours notice. 20-something people pulled up. It was all POC women of color in the arts.
In the arts. And like administrators, artists, creators, like support people.
Yeah.
It was interesting. I didn't get to go, but the picture.
Yeah, it was like, wow, I didn't expect it to be a thing, you know? So it was just like everyone came. And it felt really nice to know that we are a safe place, you know, where people can come and people are willing to come in the moment's notice.
And it doesn't always have to be feel like planned or forced. Sometimes organic things are available because we have the space. Whereas if we didn't have the space, I know when we first started doing like our movie nights and our art class, we had to rent the space out because of the house gallery. It just couldn't sustain that.
We didn't have bathrooms.
It didn't have bathrooms. So, you know, being able to consolidate all that into one space is definitely like, you know, filled the room with a lot more emotion and love, but at the same time, it has allowed us to be just open, organic. Mm-hmm. You know, you're doing something for the community.
Come on.
We can host you that Sunday morning or afternoon. That's fine.
What you need help with?
We got you.
Let's talk it through.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.